I want to show you a couple of other verses. In Matthew chapter 4, when we get alone with the Lord early morning, it's not a time to keep asking, give me this, give me that, give me that. You can do that. The Lord doesn't mind your asking, just like you go to your daddy and say, Daddy, I'm hungry, or Daddy, I want this. And your daddy will give you what is good for you. He may not give you things that are not good for you. He won't give you what, and he may not even give you things you ask for because you're not yet old enough to handle them. So, sometimes when God says no to us in our prayer, remember, it's like if your little three-year-old child says, Dad, give me that 500 rupee note. A 500 rupee note is a very valuable thing. But you won't give it to your three-year-old. Not because you don't love him. You'll be willing to spend 5,000 rupees on him later on for his education. But right now, you won't give him that 500 rupee note. You say, you're gone and you're not able to handle it. So there are things when God doesn't give something to you that you ask for, remember there's a very good reason. Don't argue with him about it, Lord. You know what is best for me. You realize this thing I asked for, I thought it was good for me, but you say no, I bow and accept it. But here we read, the Lord told Satan, when Satan said, bow down and worship me, Matthew chapter 4, the Lord said to him, it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him. You see the order? You must worship and then serve. I'm very thankful that I learned that fairly early in my life. I have been serving God for many, many years, 60 years almost full time. And even before that, I mean, I started serving the Lord and preaching when I was 23. And that's 62 years ago. And one thing I learned very early in my life, that if I want to effectively serve God, effectively preach God's word, I must be a worshiper first. You shall worship and you shall serve. I want to say that to all of you, those who want to, them some brothers here who are very eager to preach. Be careful, brother. Don't have a lust to preach. It is as bad as lusting after women. Did you hear me? The lust to preach, the lust to stand up here and let everybody hear you is as bad as lusting after women. If God makes it such that you have to stand up here, that's different. Let God thrust you here. But if you try to lust after it and you want to be honored, and even in your little house groups, you want to be honored to get up and speak, I can tell you, you will destroy yourself. God kept me in many situations for many years where I was not allowed to preach, and God said, keep your mouth shut and sit there quietly. And I sat and sat quietly, even though I had a gift that could bless others, because I had done that before. But the Lord said, keep your mouth shut. And the Lord tested me for years to keep my mouth shut when I had a gift to speak. And I know why he was teaching me. He was teaching me to get rid of this lust to preach. When you're young, you have a lust to preach, particularly if you feel you have a gift. And sometimes people who don't even have a gift have a lust to preach. Lay it aside. Say, Lord, let me have a great, lust means great desire. Let me have a great desire to worship. And I want to tell you something about worship, because it says here, you cannot serve effectively if you don't worship first. So, before you have a great desire to preach to others, please develop the habit of a great desire to be a worshiper. How many people have a great desire to worship? So many people, because in worship you are doing in secret, you don't get any honor. The great desire to preach in public is because we want honor. Kill it! It'll ruin you. I warn you, it'll ruin you. It has ruined many, many young people. It's a different thing when God thrusts you into a position. But worship is in secret, and it's a wonderful thing to do. So I want to tell you something about worship that you understand, which you probably will never hear in any other church, like many other things you hear here. There are three steps to worship. First of all, learn to thank God. That's number one. If you have not developed the habit of thanking, let me tell you the three. Thanksgiving, praise, worship. You hear it? Thanksgiving, praise, worship. Those are three different things. So go step by step. Don't jump to the third step. You can't get there. Don't jump to the second step. Start with the first one. Thanksgiving. When should we give thanks? I'm trying to teach you how to worship. Ephesians 5, verse 20. Ephesians 5:20 says, always give thanks. And verse 18 says, be filled with the Spirit. What happens when you're filled with the Spirit? You will always give thanks. There are many people in the world, particularly in Pentecostal churches, who say you must seek for tongues. I say, seek this one. Be filled with the Spirit, verse 18, and learn to give thanks always. In your own language, that's fine. That is the mark. It doesn't say here you're filled with the Spirit and you speak in tongues. You filled with the Spirit and you will give thanks always. And you'll be giving thanks in Psalms, verse 19, Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs and singing and making melody in your heart. Always giving thanks. So to me, that is the mark of a Spirit-filled man. He has a spirit of thankfulness for everything that happens in his life, and he's always got a thankful spirit. It's a wonderful thing to meet a brother who's always thankful, who's very quick to thank you for very small things you do for him, or any little thing you do. He's thankful. He's deeply thankful. He doesn't take for granted. So many of us can take for granted. For example, you may never say thank you to your wife or your husband. They do things for you and we can take for granted. Even if you don't actually say the words, have a thankful spirit, even to your husband and wife, your children. One of the most important things your children must develop is to be thankful to your parents for all that they sacrifice for you. Some of you children are grown up. Are you thankful to your parents for what they've done for you, what they sacrifice for you? Develop that habit. You can be filled with the Spirit. Always give thanks. So thanksgiving is recognizing the Lord has done something for me and I don't deserve it. When is it that you don't give thanks? You don't give thanks when you think you deserve it. If you get your salary from the office the first of the month, you don't go and bow down before your boss and say, thank you very much for my salary. Because you deserve it. You worked hard and you got it. So learn this, that when you don't give thanks for something, it's because you feel you deserve it. When you feel that you don't deserve something, you will readily give thanks. And that's the story of the 10 lepers. You know the story in Luke's Gospel where 10 lepers were cleansed. I don't have to turn to that. You know the story. 10 people were cleansed. And as they were going to the priest to show, the law was that you have to show yourself to the priest. It's in Luke 17 verse 11 onwards, in case you want to see it. And as they were going, it says here, verse 14, last part, as they were going to the priest, they were cleansed. Leprosy disappeared from their hands. Their nose came proper shape and they said, hey, this is amazing, something has happened. It's not like some inward sickness going, the leprosy was something they could feel and they're getting sensation in their hand, I'm healed. 10 of them. One of them came back. When they asked for healing, it says in verse Luke 17, 13, they raised their voices, said, have mercy on us. But when it came to giving thanks, they didn't say a single word. But one man, verse 15, he shouted out with a loud voice, the same loud voice with which he asked for healing. The same loud voice, it says in verse 15, he shouted and thank you. And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet. And he was a Samaritan. He was a Samaritan means he was the one of those whom Jews despised. Sometimes the one whom we despise turn out to be more spiritual than those whom we think should be more grateful. Jesus said, where are the 10 cleansed? Verse 18, isn't only one come back? And he's a foreigner, he's not even a Jew. He's an outsider. The Samaritans were Jew outsiders. And he's come back to give glory to God. And you know what he got? He got something more than healing. That's the wonderful thing. When you come back and give thanks to God, you'll get something more than what you got initially. It says, stand up, Jesus said in verse 19. Your faith, as the margin says, has saved you. Your faith has saved you, my margin says. That's a real word there. What you got before was healing, what you get now is salvation. How did he go from healing to salvation? Just by giving thanks. Do you know that you can get something more from the Lord when you learn to give thanks? Here's an example of that. And you miss out when you don't give thanks. So please develop that habit in this year. If you want to be a worshiper, first step, give thanks.